Well, good day, friend. I hope that if you're listening to this program on a cold, wintry day or evening, that you've got a nice hot cup of coffee or some hot chocolate or something, a cup of tea, just to keep you warm. And I hope that as we spend the next half hour together in this program, the ministry and me, that you'll find yourself blessed and encouraged, and that the Lord Himself, through the Holy Spirit, will come and warm your heart and your life with inspiration and blessing and new meaning as we think about ways in which your whole life, everything that you do and are, can be used as an act of worship and ministry for God. Because remember, at the end of the day, God's great desire is that you would be blessed. And in that blessing, because God is such a loving heavenly Father, that you would be blessed in that and that you would bring blessing to others. Well, you're listening to Dr. Dion Foster, and I'm your host for the next 30 minutes here on Radio Pulpit, your companion in the search for meaning. And it's been wonderful to hear from listeners over the last couple of weeks. I received so many wonderful emails about our last program, and thank you to everyone who emailed me. And of course, you're welcome always just to drop me a line. I love to hear from folks who are listening, to hear your insights and inputs. And one or two folks have sent words of encouragement, and some folks just emailing me to say, Dion, I'm going through this particular thing in my life, and I really want to ask you to pray with me or give me some advice. And of course, the other thing that you can do is if there ever is anything from any of the programs that you hear here on Radio Pulpit that stir you to have someone pray with you, or maybe you want a little bit of counseling, then you can phone the Radio Pulpit counseling line. And that number to phone is a Pretoria number, so 012, and the number is 334-1200. And I'll give you a moment just to grab a pencil if you want to take that down again. It's a Pretoria number, 012-334-1200. And we'll give that to you again at the end of the program. And of course, if you want to drop me an email, my email address is digitaldion@gmail.com. That's digitaldion. @gmail.com, digitaldion@gmail.com. And as I say, I always love to hear from you. And that little bit of feedback is such a blessing, and it's a wonderful joy to be able to share with you in your life and have you share in mine. Now, what I'm wanting to talk about today is something that has been so close to my heart. You know, for many years, as many of you that have connected with me in the past would know, I spent many years training people to become ministers, mainly for the mainline denominations, Methodists, Anglicans, Presbyterians, and folks from the Reformed and mainline churches. And of course, I still continue to teach in that way, but it's no longer my primary responsibility. But as I was forming women and men for ministry, I came to recognize a couple of things. Perhaps the most important thing that I've come to realize in my own life, and this I want to leave with you as an encouragement and a blessing, is the recognition that every single person is in ministry. If you know the Lord and you love the Lord and you have a desire to see God honored and God's glory shown in the world, then you are in ministry, because everything that you do, every word that you say, every action that you perform is an opportunity for you to engage in ministry. Think about that for a moment. What is ministry ultimately? Well, the Old Testament, when we look at a priest in the Old Testament, what the priest would do was the priest would bring the people to God, so bring the people into God's presence, usher them into the presence and will of God, and they would bring God into the presence of the people. So make God's reality and will and power and love a reality in the midst of people. You know, anyone can do that. You don't have to be a pastor or a priest or a dominie. You don't even have to be a cell leader or a ministry leader in your church to be engaged in ministry. What you do in your family, in your workplace, on the sports field, wherever you are, that can be ministry. It can transform the whole of the world by transforming the lives of those around you. And of course, ministry should never be done for our own sake. We should never do ministry just simply because we want to satisfy a need that we may have. Ministry is always about saying, how do I spend my energy, my talents, my creativity? How do I maximize and leverage my sphere of influence in order to establish the kingdom of God? Now think about this for a moment. The kingdom of God is that place where God is king. And you know, that's not a place which is marked by geography like the modern kingdoms of this world. Like, for example, England, which has a monarch. The Queen of England only has authority over that little piece of geography known as England, the United Kingdom. The kingdom of God, however, is established wherever you choose to bow to the lordship of Jesus Christ. So God's kingdom can be established, for example, in your choices. If you decide to say, Lord, I want to subject this day to your will, and I want to find out what it is that you want, and I want to bow my knee to that and be courageous and creative and passionate about bringing your will to bear on this day, then God's kingdom is established in this day. Have you ever thought about that? So God's kingdom can be established in your office. God's kingdom can be established in your relationships, a relationship that you have with a husband, a wife, a friend, or a family member. When you bow your knee to God in Jesus Christ and you offer yourself to God and say, Lord, here I am to give you myself, God's kingdom is established in that place, in that moment, and in that particular structure. Now, one of the values that I've come to understand about ministry is a value that we read about in Paul's letter to the Romans, Romans chapter 15. And I want to speak to you a little bit today about one of those values that establishes the kingdom of God. And the value that I'm talking about is a value that can be expressed in tangible and real action and activity. It's something that you can do today, tomorrow, wherever you are, in order to see that God's kingdom is expanded and that the grace and mercy and provision and wholeness and love of God is brought to bear on many, many situations, transforming people and transforming structures. Now, let's take a moment to have a look at this particular passage, Romans chapter 15, verses 1 to 7. And I'd encourage you, if you want a copy of this, by all means, phone, radio, pulpit in the studio and order a copy on CD or email me at digitaldion@gmail.com and I'll gladly send you the notes for today's input. But Romans chapter 15 verses 1 to 7 says this. This is Paul writing to the church at Rome. He says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of those who are weak and not just to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself. As it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything was written in the past, was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now, isn't that interesting to notice what Paul says about the whole of the Old Testament? Those were the scriptures that were written for him. Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. And what is that hope? That's the hope that comes from the kingdom of God. Verse 5 says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement, so that's something that God gives, give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do we glorify God? Well, listen to this. This is verse 7. It says, accept one another just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. So the thing that Paul says there is that we need to accept one another just as we were accepted by Christ Jesus. And in doing that, we will bring glory to God. Isn't that a marvelous thing to consider? By accepting one another as Christ Jesus accepted us, we can bring glory to God. Now, you know, for many years, I taught New Testament. That was one of the subjects that I used to teach to students. And I came to realize something about this wonderful book the letter to the Romans. There are a couple of interesting facts about this particular letter. Now think about all of the letters that we find in the New Testament. Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, all of the letters that Paul wrote, Colossians. These letters were all written to churches that Paul himself had started. Now, Paul had a strategy. Because he was a Jewish male, he would go into a synagogue and there he would try and encounter Jews with the reality and knowledge that Jesus is the promised Messiah. But when he found that that message didn't break through with them, he would often be led by the Holy Spirit, and we read about this in the book of Acts, to go and preach and teach and convince people in the marketplace. Isn't that interesting? In the places of education and trade, he would be sent by the Holy Spirit to convince people of the truth of who God is. And there he would win converts and eventually he would establish a church. Rome, however, was a place where Paul didn't establish the church. And the reason that Paul was writing to this existing community of Christians in Rome was to convince them, to give them a testimony of the truth of his belief in Jesus. You see, the one thing that we must never forget is that this Paul, who writes two-thirds of the New Testament, used to be a Jew named Saul. Go and read about it in Acts chapter 8 and 9. And this was the Saul who persecuted Christians vehemently. He was the one who gave the order for the stoning of Christians when he was a Jew. He was vicious in his condemnation of Christians. And of course, the people in Rome might have been skeptical of Paul. And so Paul writes them this long letter to tell them about the difference that Christ Jesus has made in his life. And the reason why Paul wanted to go to Rome was Paul wanted to use Rome as a base so that he could do mission into Spain. And of course, we know that Paul never got to do that because he was imprisoned and finally killed. But Paul writes them this letter, and the first 8 chapters of Romans are a letter writing, speaking about what the gospel of Jesus Christ sounds like. The whole of the first 8 chapters of Romans are Paul's testimony of the content of the gospel. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. But from chapter 9 onwards to the end of chapter 16, Paul seems to answer the question, what does the gospel of Jesus look like? Now, have you ever thought about that? You know, the church is quite good at preaching the good news. We speak a lot about what good news is. We tell people that God is love and that Jesus loves them and that there is grace and mercy and acceptance in Christ. But have you ever wondered what the gospel of Jesus looks like where you live? What does the gospel of Jesus look like in your relationship with your children? What does it feel like to have a gospel relationship with them? What does the gospel of Jesus look like in your office or your home? What does it feel like for the gospel of Jesus to be present there? Well, Paul gives us one thing that makes a lot of sense, and we find that in Romans chapter 15, verse 7. He says, accept one another, the value and the act of acceptance. Why? For this will expose the glory of God. And we need to do it because Christ has accepted us. You know, one day I read a wonderful little story about a young man from the city who went into the farm areas, much like where I record this particular show, out in the farms in Stellenbosch. And this young man was leaning over the fence watching an older man, much older man, plowing a field with a donkey. And boy, he was having a heck of a time plowing this field. The donkey just wouldn't move. And the man was tugging and pulling on the stirrups, but this donkey wouldn't move. He was pulling from the front and the donkey wouldn't move. And the young boy looked at him and he said to him, "Sir, I don't mean to interrupt your work or presume to know what I'm doing, but wouldn't it be better if you called the donkey, if you said, 'Here, donkey, follow me, jee-haw.'" And the old man took his handkerchief out of his pocket and wiped the beads of sweat off his head. And then he looked at the right young man and said, "You know, I reckon you could be right. But you know that 15 years ago this donkey kicked me and I haven't spoken to him since." You know, the moral of the story, friends, is that often a grudge, an act of hardness or rejection, is much harder on the one who holds it than the one it is held against. And this is the good news that we receive in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God did not hold a grudge against us, that in God's grace and mercy and love, God accepted us, even though we were not perfect, even though we are sinful, even though we let God down, God accepts us. And this displays God's glory. Now, have you ever thought about this? What does it mean for God's glory to be shown? How do you show God's glory? You know that there's a wrong teaching that's very common in the Christian faith. It's a heresy almost. And that is the heresy that we give God glory. As if glory is something that we have to give and something that God doesn't have and we need to give it. Have you ever thought about that? Friends, the truth is God doesn't need us to give God glory. God is glorious. God's nature and person are filled with magnificence, with righteousness, with holiness, with power, with justice, with mercy. These things are real. They're tangible. They're all around us. But the reality is that these things are hidden because of the sinful state of the world. And what God desires and longs for us to do is to expose God's glory, to make it visible and real in the world around us. Now here in Romans chapter 15 verse 7, Paul tells us how we can make God's glory known. We make it known by accepting one another, by modeling and living out that particular value of acceptance for those around us. Now, this is a wonderful thing. You see, the reality is that acceptance is part of God's nature and plan. You know, I'm so grateful that when God deals with us, God doesn't deal with us in the way in which we deal with others. Have you ever thought about it? Imagine if God was as judgmental and as regimented as we are. Imagine if God looked upon people who were different from God and said, well, anyone who's not like me either fits into my way or they take the highway. My goodness, friends, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't stand a chance. But the wonderful news is that God does everything that God can to shift people into the presence and mercy and acceptance and love of God. You see, God creates us to be in a harmonious relationship with God. And acceptance was part of God's plan from the very, very beginning. God created us to be in a loving relationship with God. And even though we are different, God does everything possible to show us love, true love, and to bring us into the center of that loving will. God does everything that God can to bless us and to help us. And you know, friends, the simple thing that we need to do is to show the same value of acceptance. Now, here's something I want to ask you. How good are you at mimicking the nature of God in the relationships that you have around you? Think a little bit for a moment now. How accepting are you of the people that are closest to you? Your sister, your brother, maybe a husband or a wife, a child or a parent. How accepting are you of those people? You see, we need to remember the fact that God's nature is a nature of acceptance, even when there is difference and sometimes even conflict. God wants to draw people in and show them love and grace. How have you prayed about cultivating this particular attitude of acceptance? You see, the reality is, friends, that not only should our churches be places where people feel accepted, welcomed, loved, nurtured, and cared for, but our homes should be that way as Christian homes. Our business relationship should be that way as Christian business people. Our relationships with our children and their relationships with their friends should be modeled on the acceptance of God in Christ. You see, we must never forget that acceptance was central to the ministry of Jesus. Remember, Jesus was accused in Matthew chapter 9:11. They said to him, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" You know, everything that Jesus was about bringing people from the margins to the center. And I want to say that if you were to look at your life, at the people who are around you and the relationships that you have, you may find that not too far from you, there are people who feel on the margins. People who don't feel included, who don't feel loved, who don't feel worthy, who don't feel affirmed. And you know that you can do some very simple things in order not only to cultivate the value of acceptance, to pray and say, Lord, show me how to accept this particular person who's so different from me. This younger person who turns their music too loud, or young person, this older person who just seems to be so stuck in their ways and slow, or husbands, to pray for your wives. Why doesn't she understand me? Or wives, to pray for your husbands. Why is he so different from me? Why doesn't he listen? Pray that God will give you the opportunity as a ministry to cultivate the value of acceptance. But you know, the second thing that we need to do with that is we need to learn to do practical things in order to show people that they are accepted. Now, I want to share with you four things that you can do as an individual or in your ministry in order to practice acceptance as a ministry with those around you. The first thing that I want to encourage you to do is I want you to practice the accepting value of forgiving one another and finding forgiveness within yourself. Colossians chapter 3 verse 13 says, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have with one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Remember the moral of the story that we started with? A grudge is often harder on the one who holds it than on the one it is held against. And I want to encourage you today, if you are holding anything against anybody, whether it's a whole group of people, maybe you still have some unresolved race issues, maybe it's with a particular gender, maybe you were abused and you need to learn to forgive women or men. Maybe it's with an older or a younger generation, or maybe it's a business person. Whatever it is, I want to encourage you to cultivate that spirit of forgiveness. Pray for the person and ask God to give you an opportunity to forgive them. The second thing that we can do is not only forgive one another, but we can encourage one another to accept the encouragement of others. So we can encourage others and we can be willing to accept the encouragement of others. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11 admonishes us. It says, "Therefore encourage one another and build each other up." You know, it's not enough simply not to judge. And it's not enough simply to stop making life difficult for others. Remember what Paul said about acceptance? We must do what we can for others in order to build them up. That's true acceptance. True acceptance is not just getting out of their way, it's helping them along the right way. So that's the second thing that I want to encourage you to do. Not only should you practice forgiveness, but practice encouragement with people and groups you may find it difficult to relate to. The third thing that we can do is we can disciple each other, and we need to be willing to learn from others ourselves. This is the next responsibility of acceptance, and that is to shower people with the gift and the experience of insight and love and growth. Friends, I don't know about you, but some of the greatest blessings in my life have been when older, more mature, more experienced people have taken the time to invest in my life, just to pray for me, just to get alongside me, just to offer me a listening ear, sometimes to give me some advice and to offer me support and help. Now, let me say, you can be that for someone else. And why not pray about a person that you can get alongside, simply to become a friend, a companion, someone who will lead them closer to the Lord and to find far greater efficiency and blessing in their life and ministry. The fourth thing that I want to share with you is that we need to pray for one another and ask others to pray for us. So acceptance begins with forgiveness. It moves on to the second step, which is encouragement. The third thing is it's willing to invest in discipling and teaching others. And lastly, we need to pray for one another and ask others to pray for us. Can you imagine how powerful it would be if tomorrow you went to the person that you have not been accepting and you confess that to them? If you went to them and said, "I'm sorry, You are precious before God. You are precious to me. And you know, I've been struggling to accept you for whatever reason, but I saw yesterday that you are a gift from God, and I'm going to be praying for you, and I want to ask you to pray for me. Pray that I will change. Pray that I will become more loving. And I'm going to pray that God will give me the opportunity to bless you and to get alongside you and get to know you. Imagine how powerful that will be, not only in transforming that person, but transforming that relationship. So friends, we've heard it today. Being in ministry, whether it's in our home or whether it's building a church, can be a challenging task. But the good news is that God doesn't expect us to do anything that God wouldn't do first. And we can do ministry simply by establishing the kingdom of God wherever we are and in everything that we do. And so I want to encourage you to cultivate this week the value of acceptance. Well, friends, know that I'll be praying with you, and I ask you to pray with me as I try to cultivate this value so that God's glory may be shown in my relationships and in your relationships and through the church. And can I ask you, please, that you find practical ways to do that? And if you need some help or prayer or someone to talk to, why not phone one of our counselors at Radio Pulpit and ask them to help you to find forgiveness and to find the courage and the strength to move on? And you can do that by phoning our Radio Pulpit counseling line on 012-334-1200. That's 012-334-1200. And remember, you can drop me a line. I'm your host, Dr. Dion Foster, and it's always a joy to hear from you. And my email address is digitaldion@gmail.com. That's digitaldion@gmail.com. And I rejoice to connect with you, to pray with you, and to ask God to help you, even as I need help, in this value and action of kingdom acceptance. May the Lord bless you, and bless your family, and bless your ministry, and bless your business, and bless your home, and bless your community. It's been a joy to be with you here on The Ministry and Me. Goodbye.